We'll start with some context to help understand Donald Trump's tweet last evening on a big-ticket military project. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. High-level defense procurement policy via short message Twitter. President-elect Trump's latest set of zingers includes one of great interest to both military industrial giants Boeing and Lockheed Martin. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington is here with more than 140 characters to give us some background. Kimberly?
Right, David. So we should point out that most of the information we get about topics like this does indeed come from Twitter and Donald Trump's Twitter account, as well as statements from the transition team. He hasn't held a press conference with open questions since July. But on Twitter, he criticized Boeing on December the 6th for what he says are out-of-control costs for the new version of Air Force One the company has in the works. He said that order should be canceled. And then about a week later, also on Twitter, he turned his attention to Lockheed Martin, saying its F-35 fighter jet program also had out-of-control costs, about $400 billion for 2,400 jets.
And what do we know about this actual in-person meeting, Mr. Trump and chief executives of Boeing and Lockheed?
Right. Boeing's chief executive came out of that meeting and said he gave Trump a personal commitment. The price of the new Air Force One would be lower than the $4 billion estimate Trump has been complaining about. Lockheed's executive said it was a productive meeting, but she didn't give too many details.
Which brings us to another pre-composed Times Square headline from the president-elect yesterday.
He dug in a bit on Lockheed Martin's fighter jets, saying that because they were so expensive, he might be willing to consider Boeing's older model F-18 Super Hornet, and has asked Boeing to price it out. Boeing has long been arguing that its jets, which are about 30% cheaper than Lockheed's but have less advanced technology, can do the job just fine.
Kimberly Adams, thank you. Lockheed Martin's stock in early trading was down more than 1%. Boeing stock was up slightly. Now, this time of year, what you thought was a pharmacy has morphed in the night into a kind of pop-up store for Scotch tape, AA batteries, and that last tube of wrapping paper. You can see it at CVS and beyond, and at Rite Aid, where Marketplace's Rima Crace centered this report.
We are in the peak of cough cold season. That means more people in drugstores and more chances to push holiday goodies, says Brian Owens, an analyst with Kantar Retail.
They want to make sure they are getting the biggest return on their own real estate investments that they have. So during the holiday season, why not try to be that sort of fill-in destination?
He says drugstores want to grab impulse and last-minute shoppers. Rite Aid, which has 10% of the market share behind Walgreens and CVS, is pushing everything from virtual reality glasses to mini hockey tables. And drugstore chains are not just competing for each other's shoppers.
Grocery stores are also trying to compete in the same way that drugstores are, because they know that they have a planned purchase every month.
Then there are the ever-growing online retailers like Amazon, says Ken Perkins, president of Retail Metrics.
They face the challenge that so many others in the brick-and-mortar retail space face right now. How do we get consumers to come in?
Perkins says to compete outside of the holiday season, drugstores have to be more selective in their choices and prices. I'm Rima Crace for Marketplace.
Marketplace is a nonprofit service supported by you, the people we serve each and every day with news about money, jobs, innovation in all of their forms. I'm here to ask if you could make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today, if you could donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. There's news police in Milan, Italy, have shot and killed a man authorities believe is the prime suspect in this week's attack on the Christmas market in Berlin. We'll be watching how the attack, as well as immigration and refugee policy, and, as we're about to explain, energy policy, play out during what will be a big year ahead for German politics. Marketplace's Mark Garrison is just back from Berlin with some background on some of the things German Chancellor Angela Merkel now has to consider.
Now, before the attacks, her party, the center-right CDU, was in a strong position, favored to come out on top. But Germany, of course, has a multi-party system, so it's not just a question of who wins the most votes, but how the other parties do and who gets together into the governing coalition. The wild card is the controversial right-wing populist party, Alternative for Germany, or AfD. They went after Merkel really hard following the Berlin attacks over her refugee policies. They have an anti-immigration message, and they've been growing and growing their support from basically nothing to around 14% in some national polls. Now, nobody's going to form a coalition with them, but they could pull enough votes to scramble the results.
We'll keep following this AfD party, but there is a connection to sustainable energy production in Germany?
So they're known for an anti-immigration message. Before that, during the Euro crisis, they got some traction with a strong anti-European Union message. But a lesser-known piece of AfD that has interesting parallels to the U.S. is the inroads they make in German coal country. There are a lot of similarities, like in the U.S. Many coal miners are in unions and historically tended to vote with the party aligned with organized labor. So that's the Democrats in America, the center-left party in Germany. But in recent years, that's been changing some. Coal jobs have been lost, workers are frustrated, and there are concerns that Germany's coal country could support this upstart far-right party, which has also made some Trump-like comments about energy policy.
And you see lessons here beyond Germany?
Well, Germany's in the middle of this transition to cleaner energy. It invested a lot of money in that, seen some results. It gets to close to about a third of its electricity from renewable energy. That's much more than in America, more than double. Now, coal is still bigger in Germany, but the workers in the coal country, they see the trend. They worry about their jobs, their futures, and policymakers worry that they might be tempted by this far-right party. So there's this focus in making sure that as the energy transition happens, the workers who are affected, they're compensated, they're retrained, they're taken care of, because the rise of the far-right party is giving some new urgency to that question. And again, the German election is going to be interesting to watch for a lot of reasons, because after the U.S. election, after the Brexit vote, Germany is that next battleground for this question about what's the real feeling about globalization around the world.
Marketplace's Mark Garrison, just back from Germany. Thank you.
Thank you.
And what about this as a holiday gift for the planet? From the journal Lancet, an experimental new vaccine against Ebola that is 100% effective. Licensed by Merck, one shot, the World Health Organization studied the vaccine in 11,000 people. Still, the vaccine doesn't work for every strain of the virus or some related scourges like the Marburg virus. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.